This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
But I want to bring you back down to earth and have you realize a few things. When yesterday I was kind of going through Phil Steele's preview that he had for the Razorbacks and looking at some other publications, because that's kind of what you get into this point too, is looking at people's predictions and breakdowns and all that fun stuff. Some of the experts, I don't know, I'm sure there's some that's better than others, but just looking at it in generally about what people think about Arkansas going in. And the stat, Tommy, and it's not a surprising stat, it's not a shocking stat, it's not a stat that's going to just blow your mind, but it's a stat that certainly puts things in reality. That since 2012, well, we all know what happened then. The Arkansas Razorbacks SEC record is 13-43. 13-43. And to put that into a bigger perspective, in the 2010-2011 seasons combined, you had 12 SEC wins in those 2 years. You just have 13 since 2012. 43 losses. And if you wanted to get above
five of your 13 happened in one season.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And if you wanted to get above 500 since 2012, you'd have to go undefeated in the SEC for the next 4 years.
And two of those seasons were offers.
Yep. Two of them were offers. You had one of
one
them that
was a one for.
Was a one for.
So and three of them were, what would that be? 16-7. So it'd be 1-23 in three seasons. Is that right?
Is it one?
Yeah, because you play eight a year.
Well, you have two wins. Because I guess it's, if you're saying three seasons, from 4 years.
Three different. Yeah, Bealum is one for.
Yeah.
So the three of those combined went 1-23.
Yeah. So it's just one of those stats that really, I mean, it depresses you when you read it. But
obviously,
it's,
here's
good
the
Lord.
Thing. Obviously, we know what happened in April 1 of 2012.
Of course.
And the motorcycle going in the ditch. That was huge. What else happened that year?
For the Arkansas football program?
Mm-hmm.
John L. Smith, right? Well, going 4-8.
Texas A&M joined the league, too.
Well, yes. Yeah. And
which is the bigger of the three? Everybody talks about John L. wants to, John L. this, John L. that. John L. was here for one damn year.
Yeah.
You know, one. And he won two conference games. He won two.
You can't do a lot of damage in 1 year.
He won two games.
Yeah. I mean, and was close in a couple
There's two
other
coaches
ones.
That have come after him that didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone, well, he was head coach. He was an interim head coach. I know Jeff Long politely didn't put the interim. He was an interim head coach.
Signed a one-year contract.
Yeah, one-year deal for $800,000.
Yeah.
That sound like an SEC head coach to you? I didn't think so.
Yeah.
All right. He won two damn games, and these guys, Ofer, and Onefer.
Yeah.
You know, is what we're talking about here. So, set John L. to the side. Petrino going in the ditch was obviously a huge thing. A&M joining the league wasn't helpful. I know that.
It wasn't helpful. But, I mean, do you really see that? They haven't beat them since 2011. So, let's just get that out of the way. Arkansas has not beaten Texas A&M since Bobby Petrino was coach. So, it's kind of all been bad for the same length of time. But, I mean, do you really? Maybe it's just because every game's been close against Texas A&M. Maybe I feel that way. But it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like Texas A&M has just been a thorn in the side of Arkansas football, keeping them from taking that next step to success.
It's the recruiting, right? Because all those kids that wanted to play in the SEC in Texas, that didn't want to go to Texas, now have another place.
I mean, do you think
that's Arkansas's recruiting been the same in Texas? And some of that was Bielema saying, we're going to line up and play American football. We're going to, all the stuff he went down there and said, and if you don't use a tight end, we're going to kick your ass. All this stuff he stood up with the coach's deal, and, obviously got it shoved down his throat at the end. So that didn't help either. But I think A&M coming in the league, you can't say it's helped Arkansas recruit the state of Texas.
No, I would never say it would help. But at the same time, though, maybe with Brett Bielema, I don't think that no matter who came into the conference, you weren't going to be recruiting the state of Texas well. But Chad Morse is showing that he's at least in the early goings, showing they can still recruit the state of Texas. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the state of Texas.
I just think that's a factor that not a lot of people put enough weight on. They want to blame all of it on the Petrino incident, which Petrino wouldn't still be here. We understand that, right? His history's proven he can't stay anywhere 5 or 6 years. Something else would have happened. If it wasn't this, it would have been something else. Even though he had a huge buyout and financially it would have been very difficult for him to leave, something else would have happened. It may have been another year. May have been 2014 or 15, but something, I don't believe with anything with him, he'd still be the head coach going into the 2019 season.
No.
Had the motorcycle wreck not happened.
No.
Don't believe that for a second. Just history, his history tells me that. So, I mean, there's just the A&M thing, the Petrino, all of that has led to this hideous record you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
13 wins? 13?
43 losses.
Oh.
And just to also let everybody know, that ranks dead last in the SEC. Yeah. And the closest teams that are to you have 17 wins. So four more wins than you, which is Kentucky and also Ole Miss.
So now that you've completely put water on the campfire, what you know, where are we headed with this dose of reality?
You're hoping up. You're hoping away from it.
Yeah.
But what I think, it's just for someone like me, and I know that, Tommy, you were, I don't know how much you remember. Actually, I know how much you remember about the years of first joining the SEC and the Jack Crow time frame and all of that. I guess the point where I'm heading there with this is, has the past 5 years, 6 years, I mean, has it truly been the worst time period for Razorback football history? I mean, just being honest about it, that you can remember a five-year stretch. Has this been the lowest of lows, the worst of the worst in Razorback football history when it comes to the darkest of times?
It's hard not to say no because of the sustained nature of, I mean, the record speaks for itself.
Yeah.
At least in 95, you got to the SEC title game.
That's right.
You got smoked by Florida. I think it's
35-3. Yeah, one pretty.
Madre Hill, Barry Lunny Jr., football team that played well. You actually had that bright spot. So the separation between good seasons. Arkansas had in this stretch, well, that 1-9-win season. Should have had, but didn't have because they lost to, what, Texas Tech and Toledo that year. And
that's right.
You know, that was a year they could have won
at least nine.
At least nine games and didn't do it. So that went a long ways to sustaining some of the interest in Razorback football that I think is waning right now, you know, with season ticket holders. It's just got almost a swarm of several different things. Rising ticket prices, cost of stadium expansion, the instability with coaches, the losing record, Texas A&M coming in the league. All of it just kind of, it's kind of like when it rains, it pours, you know. And Arkansas can't seem to get out of the way. At least, yeah, Jack Crow didn't work out, and you had Kimes there as an interim, then you brought in Danny Ford, and then 98 happened, and it just seemed to turn the whole thing around. And that's what you're hoping is you have that one year, and I don't think it's going to be this year, where it just kind of turns around. The problem is the climate of the SEC West is so much different now than it was back then. LSU was a doormat in the 90s, for the most part of the 90s. A&M won, Alabama won a national title in, what was that, 92 under Gene Stallings?
Correct.
But really, most of the 90s, Alabama wasn't highly competitive, consistently competitive.
It was all Florida and Tennessee on the east side is
right.
What it was.
And you had to play Tennessee every year back then. So it's just and that was when the East controlled the league.
Yeah.
Now it's been a major shift, and the West, for the most part, has controlled the Southeastern Conference in football. But you're right, it was Tennessee and Florida. Somewhat Georgia, but it was really those two, Spurrier and Philip Fulmer, and that was the league.
Yep.
And Alabama and Auburn, LSU certainly wasn't. And Arkansas would slip in there, and, you know, Jackie Sherrill's Mississippi State teams were pretty good at that time, too. But the West was kind of like the East right now. It was clearly in second place compared to the other division.
Right. And
so, it seems very dark because of the difficulty of the West right now. We know Alabama's good. A&M's getting a whole lot better. LSU's LSU. And at least in the 90s, you could kind of count on beating the Mississippi schools pretty regularly. Well, now you're not even doing that.
Yeah.
You look around, who's left? You're it. You're the doormat now.
Yeah. Well, even when you mentioned the Mississippi states or Mississippi schools that you were beating during that period, it's not like the Mississippi schools have just been far and away better than you as a program the past few seasons, past 5 years even. I know Mississippi State had a year here, and then Ole Miss had a year here. We all know how they had those years, but it's just they've been pretty average if you really look at it. They've been average football programs, and you've still been worse than them. So that's what makes it also frustrating. It's one thing, hey, you're losing to Bama. No shame in that. You even lose to LSU a lot. Hey, it's one thing, whatever. You don't want to do that. Auburn, same way. But it's just like you're not even being competitive against the quote-unquote doormats of the SEC that you felt like you'd never be worse. I mean, Tommy, 10 years ago, did you ever feel like Ole Miss and Mississippi State would surpass you as a program? No.
Nope.
You would never even feel that way. So, it's just a painful reminder of it all and how far you are away. And what is it going to take to get you out of this? I know getting players, recruiting, trying to get your culture back established, all these things go hand in hand. But you just hope that it's not going to take forever, because I don't know how long fans can just hold on to hope, hoping that for 6-6 seasons. I mean, that's just that's just not something that the Razorback fan base is going to aspire to, especially with all the things going on in the SEC.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, home!
I still believe that Brett Bielema was one of the worst things to happen to the Razorback football program.
So we were talking with Phil Still yesterday on the show. And for those that were listening early and not later in the show, he joined us in the final hour. You hear the whole interview at hitthatline.com. We've been added a dose of reality because the way he was talking, Arkansas is only going to be favored in four games next year. I think we got his audio there we can go to, which means the four games are pretty obvious. They're your home non-conference games. Which, if you were predicting right now, which is what he's in the business of doing, it would right now be another 0-for SEC year. And he said Arkansas is only two upsets away from making a bowl game. Jeez. You got to upset Missouri? And that's just where you're at. It's an upset if you beat Missouri in your own state. And you're going to have to do that and beat Ole Miss or beat Mississippi State or beat somebody, Kentucky on the road, in order to get to a bowl game. But not going to be favored in any SEC game as of right now. Yep. Now, there's a lot of football ahead of us.
Yeah, here's what Phil Still had to say yesterday.
I think overall this is an Arkansas team that will definitely be improved. I've got them favored in four games coming in, which means they're two upsets away from potentially getting to a bowl game. I think the Missouri game in Little Rock is going to be a big one and easily a potential win there, maybe at Kentucky, at Ole Miss. So just an upset or two away from getting to a bowl game, and I think Arkansas will see much better football this year.
I think that's putting it with a silver lining across the board of saying, you know, it's not that Arkansas is only going to win four games because they're just going to be favored in four games and then they have a potential of a couple of upsets here and there.
Only two upsets away, folks.
Yeah, it was a real positive spin that Phil Steele put on the Arkansas football season, but it also just shows where you're at exactly, because I don't think any expert or college football analyst or whoever is going to come out when talking about the Arkansas Razorbacks and say that this team is a 6-win team for sure. There is no evidence that will say that. There's nothing that you can believe in or have seen in the past year or in with this current roster and coaching staff that'll make you for sure buy in 100% that this is going to be a 6-win team this year. You just don't have anything like that. So that's why when people, we have people like Phil Still on the show, they come out and they say, hey, as much improved that this team could be and as good of a job as they've done in recruiting and doing an overhaul, they are still far behind the SEC West in general. And then the SEC as a conference as a whole. Because if you look at just the schedule this year for Arkansas and the SEC, granted, the two East teams that they play are Kentucky and Missouri, one of those games being on the road against Kentucky and the other one being in Little Rock and War Memorial Stadium. You know, those aren't just the most impossible games. You're not playing Georgia and Florida, all right? I mean, those are two teams that, not saying that they're bottom dwellers or that they're not going to be decent teams to go up against, but they are certainly not the best of the best that the SEC right. East has to offer. And then adding into the SEC West, of course, Alabama is always going to be Alabama. I still think LSU is going to be LSU, maybe a 9-win team. I don't think they're going to be competing for a championship, but they'll be a 9-win team. Texas A&M has the talent and the ability to be 8, 9, 10-win team. I think that that's where they're at. But then you have Auburn, and then you have Mississippi State, and you have Ole Miss, teams that are kind of up in the same realm of Arkansas as far as being unknown of what they're going to do this year. So you don't really have a team that you can compare yourself to or even come close to where you're saying, yeah, you're on the same playing field right. as this team. You have the same talent level as this team. You have the ability to beat this team because there is not a single iota of evidence to believe that you can.
Is Phil still right? I mean, he's held as the most accurate college football prognosticator there is. Is he right?
Yeah, he's right. I mean,
you can't
say
he's
obvious. He's not, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose where you want to agree with him only when it fits your narrative.
Yeah. No, he's 100% right. And that's the harsh reality that Razorback fans have to deal with, is that when you hear it, as much as it sucks to hear it, as much as it pains you, and as much as it just puts a downer on any sort of optimism or excitement that you have for the upcoming season, it's factual.
Yeah.
And that's really what, I'm not saying that people in the media do this. I know some people do, but I don't know, that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to convince you otherwise. We're not trying to sit here and say that you need to be excited. If you're not excited, you're a hater. Like, that's, at least that's not what I'm trying to do.
We're not hating either. We're just trying to give you reality.
No, because reality is what it is. Like, reality of this season is you're a team that is competing for a lowest of low tier bowl game, best case scenario. That's what you're, that is a realistic deal.
Well, it's the definition of a rebuilding, a program in a rebuilding mode right now.
Yeah. And you've seen programs go through it before, not just Arkansas. I mean, there was a time where Auburn went 0-for in the SEC. There were times when Ole Miss went 0-for in the SEC. There were times when Vanderbilt went 0-for, when Kentucky went 0-for. Yeah. I mean, even though you may feel you're a better program than some of those listed, there are times and have been times where programs have gone really into the gutter.
Vandy came here and beat you last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's where you're at.
Yeah. And so you're having to climb out of this hole. It's just, what makes it worse than anything is the fact of all the timing of it all. Because even when Arkansas had those bad years, for instance, when Houston Nutt left and you had Bobby Petrino in that first year and he only went 5-7. You had some pretty disgusting losses to Texas on the road, to Alabama, to Florida. You just got your butt kicked by a few good teams. But what held you over, at least, was the optimism towards the end of the season, and also the fact that, hey, 2 years before that, you had 10 wins. Year before that, you had 8.
Yeah.
You felt like you still had something to hold you over. And even when Brett Bielema came in his first year and went 3-9, went over in conference, you had just come off a 4-8 year with John L. Smith. That was embarrassing, but you weren't too far removed from a 10-11 win season where you still felt like your program was at a point to where it was a lot better than most of the SEC programs, or at least you were still in the middle of the pack.
You were relevant. It was fun.
Yeah, you never felt like you were a bottom dweller because of what you happened to have in recent history. But at this point in time, you had the best season you have of recent memory is an 8-5 season where you won the Liberty Bowl. I mean, that is your best season, essentially, and since the new revision of the SEC, since 2012, your best year in the past, I think it was that 6-7 years, pretty much, has been a Liberty Bowl victory. And if you look at just in 10-year spans, each year, each decade, you always had greater moments and greater seasons than that. In every single time period you had in the 2010s, we know what, or 2000s, you know what you had there. You had the Darren McFadden years. You had the beginning of the Bobby Petrino years. You still had the Matt Jones era. You had great times. And even in the 90s were a struggle, but you had that 98 season that was great. You went to the SEC championship in 95. You joined the SEC, which was a lot of excitement. We all know about the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, how great you were there. You don't have that
right now. This stretch is just too long. Too long between a 9-win year. It's Arkansas's never went this long without winning 9 games, you know, since they started playing 12 for sure. That's the problem is, and there's no end in sight. It's going to be a decade of 7 wins or less, more or less. I mean, you have 1 8-win year in there. That's going to be your high point. An 8-5 year.
Beating Kansas State in the Liberty Bowl is the highlight.
That's going to basically be a, because do you see this thing getting turned around by the next 2 or 3 years to where it's going to be back to 9? You see Arkansas winning 9 in the next 2 to 3 seasons?
I mean, not right now, no.
I mean,
after this season, I could change my mind, but not right now, no.
8's going to be the high watermark for a 10-year period unless something drastic happens.
Yeah.
Saturday Down South came out with the top 5 teams that are better off when they started in the 2010s. Arkansas obviously wasn't on that list. Think about if they had done the opposite. If teams that are worse off starting from 2010 to now, Arkansas would be the top of the list.
We're number one.
Yeah. And we think about the...
not necessarily, finally found something we wanted.
Yeah. The failures within Arkansas football, but I mean, you look over to Arkansas basketball, it's even worse. Like, it just hasn't been in those two sports. You just haven't had anything to get excited about at all.
And
like the Liberty Bowl. They lost to Toledo that year.
Yeah.
They lost to Toledo in Little Rock
If you don't do that, it's a much different... You at least have that one season that you won 9 games.
That should have been a 10-win season that year.
Even in the positive times, there's so much distress that goes along with what should be or should have been good seasons, and yet they're just outliers over and over again.
Yeah, and that's the scariest part about it is that no one wants to hear it, and I understand that. No one wants to hear it. But you are, if you don't get things turned around, if Chad Morris does not get things turned around here in the next 2 or 3 years, when I mean turned around, I mean actually competing for 7, 8, 9 wins. He's getting to that point.
Doesn't seem like you're asking for a lot.
It's just if you get
7 wins.
I know, but if you don't get to that point, you are talking about Arkansas football falling into the depths of a reality of where you're the bottom dweller of the SEC, even behind Vanderbilt.
And you can't count on 4 non-conference wins starting next year.
Yeah, I mean, you can't count on
it. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer, with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
It is the summertime, as we have been doing pretty much the past week and a half, and doing our summer segment series here on The Morning Rush involving sports, entertainment, and food. And we're going to continue that here in this segment. So without further ado, let's jump right into it.
All right. Here we go. Finally.
All right.
It's our favorite time of the year.
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
The Morning Rush summer segment of the day.
All right, we're needing to hit this little randomizer like we've been doing. From Press Your Luck, see which one pops up first. And we are going to go with sports.
Sticking
with the sports theme here. Okay, so this should be an easy question. Easy in the way of it's one option or the other. Since we're talking about SEC wins. Which of these happens first for Arkansas? Razorback football wins 6 SEC games in a season. In one a season. I want to make sure I say in a season. In a season, they win 6 SEC games.
Shame you got to give that disclaimer.
Yes. Or baseball. Razorback baseball misses the postseason. Which of those happens first?
6 in football. I think that could happen this year.
6 SEC wins, though.
Oh, 6. Oh, I'm
SEC
sorry.
SEC wins. No.
It seemed like I was like, I didn't hear the SEC
right.
part.
SEC wins.
Oh, okay. Now, that's a different question.
Yeah, major. I almost just fell out of my chair.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, whoa, Tommy, chill when you're saying 6.
I thought you said just 6 wins. Yeah, I didn't hear
6.
That. I
was going 6-2 like in being, conference.
It's kind of like being at home. I wasn't completely listening. I
understand.
I heard half of what you said.
I understand. So 6-2 in conference play in a single year. Which of those happens first?
I can't imagine Dave Van Horn missing the postseason.
Could you imagine?
Again.
But could you imagine this team winning 6 SEC games? That's what makes it so tough.
I still think the football team winning 6 is going to happen first. I mean, can you imagine Dave Van Horn's program being outside of the top 10 in this league? Because that's what it would take to miss postseason. You'd have to be the 11th team in this league. Now, you could be a pretty darn good baseball team by a lot of measures and still be the 11th team in this league.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good this league is.
But I'm talking about missing postseason just like they did in 2016.
Right.
Yeah. So
an injury to the wrong pitcher or two at the wrong time, or your best hitter or two at the wrong time of the year. I still think football winning six in a season will happen first. Now, I don't think either are going to happen in any time
soon,
but I just don't see Dave missing postseason altogether, because I think this is a league that's going to get 9 or 10 teams in more often. Do you see this as a league only getting 6 or 7 in baseball?
No.
I just don't see him being outside of the top 10 very, very many times ever, ever again.
So just put a time frame on it. In the next 5 years, you don't see either of these things happening?
No, because I think Saban and the after effect of Saban still around in 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I it's hard to disagree with that. When I was looking at this one, I agree with you that I don't think either of these are happening here within the foreseeable future.
What's more likely to happen in the next 5 years?
Well,
let's twist the question.
What's more likely to happen, I think, is baseball missing the postseason.
Maybe I have too much faith in Dave. I
know. And there's not really a wrong answer here, because you saying that you feel like football is going to be, it shows how great Dave Van Horn is. But you saying baseball misses first, you also got to take into account that, like, it's happened here recently where Dave Van Horn missed
postseason.
That's
why I say I don't think it'll happen again. It's happened recently.
Yeah. And it may not. And it may not.
Because he went, what was it at that time? 14 years or whatever it was at that point.
02 to 2016?
Yeah, he went 14 years without missing it. So I'm going to bank on another 14 years. So he's got 12 more.
Yeah, but you're saying you're talking about 6 wins, which also, here's the other caveat on that. If you put that into perspective.
I mean, hell, Bielema won 5
in
a year.
I was about to say, Bielema won 5 that year, and if it wasn't for a missed block on a field goal beating Mississippi State, he would have gone 6-2 in conference play. So, hey, if a bubble butt, as we said from Northeast Arkansas, loves to refer to him as, if he can get to that point, then and that was during the prime of the SEC West.
Answered our own question.
Yeah,
you know?
That was during the prime of the SEC West at that point in time. So, I still would have to say that Arkansas misses postseason in football first, before Arkansas wins 6 games, though. As much as I think that things can happen, but the amount of things you need to go your way in football, especially in the SEC, Alabama, Nick Saban's still going to be there. We'll see how long he's there, but even if he leaves, if it ends up being Dabo Sweeney, for crying out loud, just keep it keep the train going. LSU's always going to be LSU. A&M's at least always going to be that, you know, middle of the packet, worst type team. I don't see them ever falling into irrelevancy. Auburn's going to be around a little bit. Mississippi schools, whatever. But I just can't imagine Dave Van Horn missing postseason play. I'm with you. I just can't imagine it happening. But I got to lean towards that just because I've seen it happen more recently is all.
Number 2 recruiting class, baseball coming in next year, according to Perfect Game. We'll see if all those guys get on campus. This team next year is going to go to the postseason. So I would think that's at least 2 years out that the baseball team's going to continue that. And I think when you look at this question, it's not about what you think is more likely to happen. It's who you have more confidence in. And you have more confidence, obviously, in Dave Van Horn. I have more confidence in Dave Van Horn's ability to keep this team in the postseason hunt rather than the Arkansas team just not getting it done.
Man, this is like Nolan time. But did you ever worry about Nolan making the field of 64?
Nope. Until he didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't even a conversation, you know. Until he did.
Yeah.
So I think it's weird saying. I think the football team is actually more likely to win 6 games because the Saban thing's not going to last forever. Eddie O's not the answer. Malzahn's always on the hot seat. I mean, the SEC, as good as it is in the Western side, like, it's not exactly the most stable if Saban leaves. Like, that's about as open as it gets if Saban eventually leaves. Eventually he will. And like you mentioned, Tommy, 14 straight years, 13 or 14 for Dave Van Horn going to the postseason.
I'll bet on another 14.
Yeah, and so, You look at that. I mean, 14 years for the Arkansas team to win six games in the SEC. I mean, if they can't do that, hell, we're in. I mean, that's sports radio the next 14 years is going to suck.
I don't think we truly can appreciate the difficulty of winning six games in the SEC. I don't think we really understand how hard it is a lot of years to win five.
I mean,
now I listen, for Alabama and for Georgia and for different conversation, but for where Arkansas, not just is at now, but historically where Arkansas is at, getting to five or more wins in the SEC, that has not been easy under any coach at any time in the last 25 years. And really, if you look at it over a three-year chunk for coaches, you just take a rolling three-year average, can you accumulate basically 13 and a half wins in a three-year period in conference wins? That's a pretty good mark by most. I mean, because that's winning above, that's above a 500 record on average, and most coaches probably can't win 13 in 3 years in SEC play on a rolling three-year record.
So Petrino did it twice, 2010, right? 2011. Mm-hmm. Nutt did it in 2006. He did it in 98 and 95 and 2002 as well.
He did it in 98. I don't think he did it in 2002. I'd have to go back.
Because they were 8-3 heading that LSU game. They won, but I don't know where those losses were year.
I don't think they were non-conference losses.
So it's not like you have a lot of history of Arkansas winning, like you're saying, the six games.
I'm just saying putting together three seasons, trying to win. I mean, just think about that. Go out and win 13 conference games in 3 years. That's a pretty good three-year stretch for Arkansas football.
Mm-hmm. But I don't see it happening.
I'm just saying that should be where Arkansas...
Instead, they have 13 wins since 2012. I know
you want to win a Western Division. You want to win a... Exactly. You want to win the national title, all these... Oh, why are you even playing if you don't want to win it all? Let's just be real for a minute. Right now, with the way things are at, if you could put three seasons together for Chad Morris starting 19, 20, and 21, you won 13 conference games in the next three seasons. Who's not signing up for that?
I'm signing up for it.
Exactly.
Everyone's signing up for it. But I put this question out on social media, by the way, at Hit That Line AR. 77% of you feel that six SEC wins happens first for football.
Yeah, all right.
But just shows the confidence of Dave Van Horn, I think, more so than anything for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
We're going to get into the food as well as the entertainment sports topics here on the Morning Rush Summer Segment Series. So without further ado, let's jump right into it.
All right, here we go, finally.
All right.
It's our favorite time of the year.
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
The Morning Rush Summer Segment of the Day.
All right, we're going to go ahead and hit the sounder here. Try to get into something a little more fun, dealing with the 4th of July. Okay, going to go with food. Going to go with food, and it's actually the one that I wanted to bring up yesterday, or at least one I talked about a little bit yesterday. You have to give your top three power rankings of chips.
Oh.
Now, just chips. It's not anything crazy or special, just a bag of chips. Your top three power rankings, 1 through 3.
Nacho cheese Dorito, number one.
Fair.
On the border tortilla chips.
Okay.
Two.
But on those, do you have to eat it with, like, do you eat them by themselves, or do you just have to have a dip?
Generally, you'll have salsa or dip of some type with it. It's very versatile. Fritos Scoops, three.
Fritos Scoops. You know, we discussed this yesterday. You said you weren't a fan of the Tostitos Scoops.
No.
But you like the Fritos Scoops.
Correct.
Okay. Man, I can't remember the last time I
had Fritos. Don't have a potato chip. They're all corn chips.
you're a corn chip guy. I know that.
Thank you. I don't know what that means, but thank you.
You're welcome for it. Man, you stole my first one, honestly.
As long as there's nacho cheese Doritos on Earth, I will always have a challenge in my life.
I may have to.
I don't have a lot of addictions or a lot of problems, but that is one of them.
I may have to agree with you. I may have to go along with it, too.
Yeah, you know, I understand people can't quit smoking. They have trouble with drinking. Some have substance abuse issues. I have a nacho cheese Dorito problem.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tommy, and I have a nacho cheese Dorito problem.
Yeah, I think me and you may need to go to a class or something, because I'm the same way, man.
Start a therapy group.
I'm the same way. Like, if there is a bag of nacho cheese Doritos in front of me, yeah, like, there's been times
it's not the Lay's. You can't eat just, you know.
Can't eat one or two.
I'm going to tell you, those Lay's barbecue, they come in the tube. They're like Pringles or the knockoff Pringles. Those are better than Pringles.
Yeah. No, I'm also with you on that one.
And they're a dollar at the Dollar General, by the way.
I got to go nacho cheese Doritos number one, mainly because back in my heyday, I would just, a regular size bag, I'd go through them in one night, one sitting. And oh, I wouldn't realize how bad it had gotten.
A real champion.
And the only time you realize how bad it's gotten is once you get to the point where you can no longer get a whole chip anymore. It's just the crumbs. when you're like, what happened to it? Where'd it go?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you ate it all. So nacho cheese Doritos.
No one else to blame because you were home all alone.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Not at all. Nacho cheese Doritos is my number one. My number two, I'm going to go with something a little different. Jalapeno Cheetos. Some people like the fire Cheetos. The flaming hot Cheetos. I've never been a fan of those. I'm more of somebody who likes the jalapeno flavor. A little kick to my chip, but going with the Cheeto side of things, too, because that's real cheese, Tommy.
Yep.
As they say it on the bag.
You would like these. You're getting ready to go to Destin.
Yeah.
So go to Publix is like the greatest grocery store there is.
Love it.
We don't have, go in there and get the, they have Zapp's brand. You can't hardly find them here.
Heard of those.
The Voodoo flavor. Kind of a New Orleans deal. Trust me on this one. Yeah. You're going to like it.
What is it?
You like a little.
It's like a Cajun flavor.
Yeah,
more.
A little zip in your chip. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
You
know? May have to go with that then.
Try that out.
All right.
And then bring me a bag back.
I'll get right on that. I will go and look for you. I do have to go to a Publix at some point. My number three is a
Cajun
tough
crab dip.
Number three is tough because those are the two go-tos I have. But this one's going to be kind of a weird one. I want to go with the Ruffles sour cream and cheddar chips that they have. I don't know what it is about them. But for some reason, when I only get them when I go to a gas station. I don't get them when I'm at a grocery store. They're never really at a party that I go to. But if I'm needing a snack at a gas station, I see the chips, I got to buy them.
Same thing I do with the, the cheddar sour cream? I don't know what, Ruffles. They're the kind of the orange looking ones.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah. Are you talking about the cheddar sour cream one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were talking about just sour cream and onion.
No. Oh. Cheddar and sour cream. Those are the ones. Yeah, so those are the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I thought you were talking about just plain old sour cream and onion.
No, which is weird because I'm not a huge fan of sour cream.
Yeah, I never buy those either. I'm the same way. Yeah, same way.
Did we just become best friends, Tommy?
I think so. This is scary. I'm going to have to quit now.
I love chips. I think everybody loves chips, so that's my three. Ty? What do you got?
Well, Tommy, you stole my thunder, man. The Zappas, that's my number one. Those chips, those Voodoo chips.
The Voodoos, those are awesome.
Oh, my God.
Can't find them here, which is probably a good thing for a short, fat guy like me.
So last time we went to New Orleans, that was what I had got for snacks. And I was thinking, this bag will last a couple days.
They're the best
ever. I ate them all that night, every single bit of them. Mm-hmm. And I was so disappointed in myself.
It's like you're tilting the bag up to get every last crumb out of the bag.
So
and then you're sticking your finger down in the corner of the bag after licking your finger to get the rest of the residue out of the corner of the bag.
Yeah,
that's how good it is.
Phil and I are agreeing on that. Yeah. Those are the best chips out there.
I've seen people do that. I've never done that, but I've seen other people do that.
Not from experience.
I would do that.
Number
that's
two
gross.
For me is Miss Vicky's jalapeno chips. Those kettle cooked goodness is just absolutely incredible. And then number three also is kettle cook, but Lay's mesquite barbecue. It's got a little kick to it. So those three.
In the tube?
Yeah.
Those are bad.
Isn't it weird that they did better than what, because Pringles is the original tube chip. And then Lay's just comes in and does the same thing, and theirs are better for some reason. I don't understand. They're thicker, so they don't, because that was the thing about Pringles. You take one on, they just fall apart. So we have a lot of people tweeting in on this topic.
The Lay's are superior to the Pringles.
Absolutely, 100%.
And they're cheaper.
Porter says
they're great on the boat. They're great. They're great because they're easy to take with you to a ball game, to a tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
They're
convenient.
They're a good portable chip.
Yeah. going on the go.
Yeah.
Porter says nacho Doritos, Friday's potato skins is his number two. His number three is Funyuns.
Not a Funyuns fan.
I like Funyuns, but the way it makes me feel afterwards and the way my breath smells, it's not worth the fight to go along with it. Marcus says his number one, sweet chili Doritos. Number two is the Kroger store brand tortilla chips with a hint of lime. And number three, Planters cheese balls. Are cheese balls a chip?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I guess you got to consider
like
Cheetos
if my kids
as a
like
chip.
The Cheetos Puffs or whatever. And those are pretty addictive too.
Do you like the Puffs more so than the actual Cheetos themselves? Like the regular Cheetos?
Can't go wrong either way, really.
Yeah. Man, see, we got tons of people. Philip tweets in. We've hit something here. Philip tweets in Kettle brand dill pickle.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
You don't like dill? Man, dill chips are great. Love dill pickle chips.
I mean, I love dill pickles, but not the chips.
How about the salt and vinegar flavor?
Oh, that was my runner-up.
Or salt and pepper flavor. See, that's a great thing about going like on a beach vacation. You get to try all these new things. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go out.
Because calories don't count on vacation.
Yeah, because calories don't count, and you bring out a cooler full of chips. You need some drinks. Just have the chips. Yeah. Just have a bag of chips in there. But Philip said that Tostitos hint of lime and Kettle brand salt and pepper chips. So like the ones you just brought up, Tommy. Jay tweets in Tim's Cascade, found only in the Pacific Northwest. One of the best chips. No. Well, I've not been to the Pacific Northwest, so I'm not going to really know much about that. So Brad though tweets in. He says you can find Zapp's Voodoo flavor in the deli at some Harps.
How about that? I know where Tommy's going after the show. Yeah.
Gonna have to make a trip over to Harps if that's the case.
Some Harps.
So you gotta.
I guarantee it's not the one. That
like
I
the
live
Fort Smith.
By.
Yeah, I was gonna say Fort Smith Harps. Yeah,
well, what Tommy's gonna have to do is he's just gonna have to call ahead. He's gonna have to get special phone book order. Out, start looking through all the Harps there, and start making apps. So okay, so a little recap of it. Tom, you say the nacho cheese Doritos number one, then on the border tortilla chips number two, Frito scoops are your number three.
Yep,
I'm going with nacho cheese Doritos, jalapeno Cheetos. And what's sad is I don't remember what the other one is. Did you write down what I had third time?
You had the sour cream and cheddar.
That's right. Sour cream and cheddar from Ruffles. Thank you. And then what was your three?
Zapp's Voodoo, Miss Vicky's Jalapeno Kettle, and then the Lay's Mesquite Barbecue.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.